Welcome to Creating Cashflow for July 14th, 2024. Karen Eileen, are you ready to go? I got your question.
I'm super ready to go.
All right. Congratulations are due for your victories. You're exploring ways to grow on social media and monetize that whole dealio. Progress is being made. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you have a new agent in LA with connections to New York and Atlanta.
Pretty excited about
Contracts
that.
being signed. Tell me how that happened.
It's through my manager. And he just has been waiting to find the right fit and really likes this person. And so we had a Zoom meeting, and so I could tell you the reason that I knew she was a big fit, other than she's I liked her energy a lot and I liked the conversation, is she lives near the water and has adopted a sea lion that hangs out near the dock and has conversations with him and has named him.
Well, that sounds like your people.
Sounds like my cup of tea.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, so you are a cash flow cat, coaching and branching into social media, and you do voiceover coaching as well as being a performer yourself. So, first question, a company that you coach for as a contractor has asked for a rate. They've basically said, hey, can you do some videos, how-to stuff, bite-sized, that we could then have for our people in perpetuity? And they're like, what's your rate? And the rate you said you would like to charge is $150 per video. So $1,500 for 10 videos.
I did not speak that out loud to them. I
Right.
haven't.
This is just sort of like your idea.
Gotcha.
Three revisions for free, and then $75 per revision after that. And you wrote, they may say no. I just want to get clear so I can stand my ground. And I'll give them a response. And the boss who asked for the rate has an unclear understanding of video production and said something like, I mean, a lot of these are just you talking on camera, as if that was like a super easy thing to do. So you wrote, you may need to educate her along with presenting your rate so she has a better understanding. 1,000,000%
Okay, great.
audio editing and video editing and video production and writing are four things that people completely underestimate the value of if they have not actually done it themselves. And a minute worth of finished video could be, depending on the layers to it, hours and
Correct.
hours of editing and post and all of that stuff. And I'm not talking for like, I'm not talking color correction. I'm just talking editing and any kind of graphics and any kind of music. And, yeah. So a few things. I'm assuming that you would be writing scripts for these, right?
Yeah,
Or.
I know the material well enough that I probably could improvise to camera given bullet points and stuff because I'm gonna be talking about stuff I teach all day every day for them anyway.
Okay.
So, but if they want a printed script, then I certainly can create
No, don't. I mean, if they don't
that.
care, because that's just an extra step.
Okay.
I was wondering, because this is just for anybody. If you're creating a video for someone else and there's a revision process, if you're writing a script, that's where the revision should take place at the script level. But if you don't have to write a script, don't write a script. If you can do it extemporaneously, if you can do it extemporaneously where it doesn't cause you a great deal of editing on the back end, that's a reason why people do write scripts, is so they can just kind of do this polished script and less takes and less edits.
I see.
So it depends on what your ability to be coherently extemporaneous and not have to kind of edit yourself to death
Got it.
on the back end.
I got it.
So when you say revisions, let's say you did it and they, first of all, they would have to see kind of the rough edit. You can't create a polished video and then go, is there anything you'd like me to change? And then you have to
I
go
have to
back and
tell you,
like,
that is kind of what how they've been working. Like, just send us the thing. And I'm like, okay.
okay, well, have you done this for them before?
I did only for myself. They're like, send us your intro video, send us the intro to each part of this curriculum. So it was really me talking about what I intended to do in the session with the student. So
Okay.
I have done that. And they were like, just send it to us. And I just sent it
It
to them.
sounds like they kind of are in a position where they trust you
That's a
to
nice
be
thought.
able to create it. Well, they're not asking like to see outlines, to see
Yeah.
scripts. They're just like, can you make some videos for us?
That's yes.
So then if it were me, I'd be like, sure, I can make some videos for you. But if you want edits, if you want revisions,
Yeah.
I would charge for each of those. It's just
Yes.
time. It's just time. So no three re free revisions per
I'm
week.
just, I was like pulling numbers out of my butt. I have no idea. Like, do people normally include revisions with a video? I don't know. It's my first time through this.
Yeah. And the way you would do this is you would do one video and go, this is the template I'm thinking of. This is the look. Is there anything you would like me to change? So it's almost like they're doing revisions on the template of the video. And you're like, then they're all going to look like
Oh,
this with this
that's
music.
interesting. I hadn't thought about that. That's super smart. I thought it was going to be 10 unique videos and yeah. Okay.
So if I was kind of designing this contract, you'd be like, okay, I will do my best shot at what I think the delivered product video would look like.
Yeah.
You're able to give me your feedback, and then I'll go in and make any changes, $75 flat rate, just cover my time. We'll agree upon the template, and then I will execute the other nine videos if they want like a 10 package of 10. So my question to you is though, as far as the rate for each video, how long is it going to take you to do these?
I mean, Ruthie used to ask us this all the time in Power Hours, and I know you ask us this all the time. I feel like I'm pulling a number out of the air. I have no
Sometimes
idea.
you have to, but weren't you doing videos for another person?
Very specific, and I'm still doing those. I'm doing really specific 30-second Instagram reels for a podcast. That's very
Yeah,
different than what they're asking for
true,
here.
but how long is that taking you?
Longer than I'd like.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how long?
I would say at least 2 hours per reel. I
Right,
mean, because
2 hours for 30 seconds.
yes. Yes.
And so, what are these videos going to be finished, do you think? They want, what is
They
the.
want them short. So I'm going to say, like, 30 seconds to a minute, like little short things.
Okay.
Just like, oh, here's how you make Zoom behave with your microphone, and here's how you export a file, and here's how you, so really
Okay.
quick. Yeah.
Okay. I would definitely test that time out.
Okay.
My golden nugget, because and I just say this because I did my golden nugget video series. Have you seen
Of
any?
course, yes, I like the series.
Those
Yes.
are around 90 seconds.
Okay.
And
How
I
long is
did a
that?
series of TikTok videos, which you can view on my YouTube channel, and those are a minute. But to get information tightly done, I had to script that out and I had to kind of to get it in a minute. So you should
Okay.
test the delivery of a how-to
Okay.
type of thing. Can you get that in 30 seconds or a minute or 90 seconds? You wouldn't want them more than 90.
Probably,
90
yeah.
is totally doable, but a minute, just so you know what you're actually working with.
Okay.
Do some
So,
extemporaneous
all right.
videos and time yourself and see, oh,
Okay.
it took me that long to explain that. Okay.
All right.
So my guess is this type of video is going to take you 5 hours each. Because you have to film. You can film some back to back depending on how your brain works.
Yeah.
Like, when I was doing my 1 minute videos, I could do like three a day filming, just max, change clothes and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about what my brain could
Okay.
handle.
Okay.
And then, and then there's the editing. Because it's
Yeah.
not just the editing, but then you have to, upload it for them and give them any, if they need any like
Transitions and
text or,
resizing and text
yeah,
and like
text to
all the
put on the
things.
web. Like
Mm-hmm.
you really have to get a scope, but my guess would be it's about 4 to 5 hours per video,
Well, then 150
maybe.
per video is not enough.
I
So
think
this
it's
is how I think they're not going to hire me, because I because what the, and again, you'd be so proud of me, because what she said, and I had a feeling that my boss was like, knew she was asking for something crazy, because she was like, we were hoping, this was the phrasing, and I was like, we were hoping you would be open to doing videos for us, and we were hoping you'd be willing to do them for your current rate. And again, like I know I shared with you in that, even in that
Yeah.
Zoom, I was like, I don't think that's going to be a good fit for
And
me.
that's amazing that you had that thing and thought, yeah.
The moment I did.
But we are just literally right now talking about what the price would be for you to create them. But you're actually then giving them as intellectual property to them. I mean, those videos, they can
Forever.
ever,
Yeah.
they could cut them down, they can post them on their Instagram, they can, use them. So they're buying an asset. And I know they want the asset, but they have no idea what's involved. Because when I was doing my Golden Nugget video series, and I have like 40 or something of those,
Is that right? I have a library.
I would go to my videographer's loft, and we would spend, and I could do about 12 in a day. But then she edited them, she
Okay.
would upload them,
Okay.
I would give her the stuff for the thumbnail. Like, it was a whole deal. It cost me hundreds of dollars. I mean, I've used them for a decade almost, for
Wow.
marketing. So it was definitely worth it, but it costs money to
Yeah.
do these things.
So
So
how do I, what kind of language, like I suppose I could ask ChatGPT, do you know what I mean? But what kind of language do I want to think about for educating my boss about, let me kindly explain to you
yeah,
what it
so
is you're asking.
I would say a project like this, here are the phases to the project.
Oh, I like that phrase.
One, conceptualizing. Like, I have to sit down and we have to figure out conceptualizing and outlining, I would say.
Yeah.
I have to sit down and figure out what the topics are and figure out, what I want to say concisely and what are the bullet points. So there's
Yeah.
that phase.
Okay.
And then there's the actual shooting of the raw video. Then there's the actual editing and uploading, along with any text that might need to accompany the video.
Thumbnails, all that
Right.
stuff.
Then the fourth part of this is the fact that you are creating this asset and you're asking to be able to use it in perpetuity. And there's, so all of those four elements
Okay.
have time attached to them and money attached to them.
Yeah.
And with those four segments in mind, I'm guesstimating that the finished cost per video would be in the neighborhood of this. Once I produce one, I'll have a more refined, but and then you put a kind of a price, like an hour to do that. Da, 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 and then some sort of price for them just to have the video forever.
This is a very good exercise for me, even though I very strongly feel like they're going to be like, thank you for
Oh, they're
sharing.
going to say no. Yeah, it's, they want it, but they don't
They don't want
want
to pay
to pay
for it.
for it. It's too expensive.
Tell me
I've
the four. I missed the four
here.
concepts. I want I
One is
conceptual.
conceptualizing and
Yep.
outlining
Okay.
the content, then the actual filming, then the actual editing, uploading, and any accompanying text,
Okay.
and then
The
the
perpetuity.
usage in perpetuity.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
This is a very good exercise for my boss babe CEO brain, because
Yeah.
there are people that I know who will pay me this money, and I know I need to get clear, because I knew it was wrong to do it for the amount they were asking me. and I'm going to need to stand up in the amount that I know is going to be appropriate because it feels like, oh, who's going to pay me that? Like at the moment, I felt like
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
And I understand when you're in a position where you're like, oh my God, I would love some money. So
We enjoy money. Yes.
you can certainly, when you figure out, well, that's kind of the price I would need to get, like you can adjust that. You can make it less
Okay.
if you wanted to.
Okay.
However, you also have to ask yourself, do I want to do this? Do I
That's,
want to do this? Or
yeah.
can I use all of those hours? Do I want to use all of those hours to get this amount of money? Or do I want to use all of those hours for something else? And she's getting, she'll be getting an education too, because she'll have a much clearer picture of what's involved.
Okay. No, good.
Yeah, good work. Okay, so your
Thank you.
second question. The universe has brought me the possibility to do a 1-hour keynote live in Florida in January. This company has never hired an outside person and they're offering transportation, housing, and an honorarium. Awesome. I told her my rate for a 1-hour live keynote was 5,000 and told her I was open to communication on that. I have handled that differently. What are some good next strategy steps? I answered her on Friday and don't have a response yet. It's Sunday. It's the weekend. Okay.
Okay.
They might
Yes,
not get
yes.
back to you for a week. That doesn't
No,
mean
you're totally
okay.
right. You're
Okay.
totally right. Yeah.
Yeah. So great. So they were like, hey, can you come and do this? And they were just like, what's your rate?
Yes. Can you please send us some information on your programs and your rates? And if you have any video clips to share, that'd be great. So I'm very proud because I made a speaker playlist on YouTube. I don't have like a full hour
Yeah,
long
that's okay.
keynote, but I sent her clips.
Great.
And I said, what is your budget? Because I'm trying to practice not naming the number.
You
What is your
didn't
budget?
tell her 5,000?
The first email was, what is your budget? And the response was, well, to be really honest, we've never hired anyone before, so we're trying to figure out what an appropriate rate is.
Great. And you go,
So,
okay, well, my
okay,
rate is 5,000.
5K.
And then let
And
them come back.
okay, so nervous. Like,
They might come back and say, we can do 5,000, but can that include you then pay for transportation
yeah.
and housing?
And I would say, yes, indeed. Yes, I can.
Exactly. Or could we're going to pay for all of this. And then we were thinking of maybe giving you 1,000, and then you can just decide if you want the
Want to
credit, if the
do it.
credit's important, the logos and having that on your website, like
Yeah.
having the connection, like whatever, you then decide. But this is 100% natural. It's a business
Right.
negotiation. You guys are just trying to find the point in the middle where you meet. And what's interesting is at first, when you haven't really used these muscles, it can feel like, oh gosh, if I tell them like $5,000, I'll lose
Yeah,
it.
oh,
And they'll just be
no.
like, how does she think she is?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, if anyone's like, how does she think she is? You don't want to work for them anyway.
Correct.
But
Correct.
it's natural. They know when they reach out to somebody, they didn't come to you and say, will you do this for 1,000? They were like, they
No.
don't know, and they are hoping you'll be able to bend a little. And so this is the negotiation.
Okay.
And
Because yeah.
if they can't handle a negotiation, well, then you probably don't want to do business with them
Okay.
either.
Okay.
But they'll probably be able to handle it. And if you can handle it, then you guys might find a wonderful, happy medium that's a win-win.
It's the vocabulary, and now that I know that that the person trying to book me is new, like this doesn't freak me out. But when they use the word honorarium, I was like, oh, honorarium, that means they don't want to pay me anything. But I
No,
just
just
think, yeah, I just think she doesn't know how to book a
well,
person.
it honorarium means we just want to give you a little extra.
Yeah,
We
not your
want to get
whole
you here and
thing.
then give you a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, not.
So,
Yeah,
also,
that's
I'm
what
very
honor
proud of
means.
myself
It's like
again that
a.
I didn't say, like, I'll do it for 1,000. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't offer that. I want her to talk to me. So this is
Yes, this is
also a win.
you're doing everything great.
Okay.
And I just want to point out that the what you did in both of these situations, you avoided the thing you did in the last situation, which is blurt out a price. You're doing it. You've improved. I love it. Yes. Honorarium is in the same world as stipend.
I
An internship with
know.
a stipend, not a salary, not even a wage, just a stipend, a flat fee. Hope you'll take it. Yeah. That's all that means.
Okay. All right. We'll see. More will be revealed.
Yeah, good. And here's the deal. Of course, if you've never heard of an honorarium before, you go to Google, you look up what it
Look it
is.
up.
You're going to be looking at contract. I was just signing a contract the other day and I was like, what does this phrase mean? I've never heard the legal language. And Google just is like, oh, that means that. And this means this. And it's like, great. Yeah, it doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you've never encountered that before. Once upon a time, you didn't even know what the word dog meant.
Oh, that is true. I didn't.
And so last week, you didn't know what honorarium meant in this context. Like, it's totally okay to still be learning things.
I need to just say out loud that I need a contract. I don't have a keynote speaker contract, so I've got to reach out to the Florida Speakers Association or the National Speakers Association and see if I can get
Or just
some
Google.
templates. Oh,
Just,
just Chat GPT or Google. Okay.
yeah, but Google, if you Google speakers contract, and sometimes if you Google image speaker
Oh.
contract, you see that they have like the whole
Oh.
image of the whole contract. Yeah, I do that a lot.
Oh, that's very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, just to kind of get like boilerplate things, and you compare a
Gotcha.
couple so that you know, like, oh, that one doesn't have this section, but I think I do want that section. You just kind of
Okay.
Frankenstein it
Got
together.
it. Nice.
Yeah. Really well done. And
Thank
oh,
you.
I don't know, Karen Eileen, did somebody else just reach out to you with a random opportunity that you didn't have to do any, like,
Thought about
what?
you. Yes.
Come
I don't even know how
on.
she found me yet. I'm gonna have to
It's
ask her.
getting boring now, Karen, with you.
I'm
Oh,
so sorry to
boring.
bore you. Yeah.
Karen Eileen. So, yeah, well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. If you want to get coached, that was the question that I received in advance. And I always do like the questions I get in advance first. But now the floor is open for the rest of our time together. Cricket has her hand up, so she'll be next. But if you want to get coached on anything, you want to ask any question, raise your hand so I can kind of like manage our time. Cricket, what's up?
Hello. I've been taking notes on this last coaching for Karen Eileen. So, hi everyone. I am a cash flow tiger, and I am a film festival strategist, meaning that I help filmmakers strategize for their film festival runs, mostly short films. And I've had a lot of big wins lately, including I've been invited to Cary, North Carolina, to a film festival there in September, and they're paying for everything and a small honorarium. Okay, that there was an honorarium involved in this, and it is small. It's not a huge amount of money, but I'm from North Carolina, so they're basically paying for me to go home and see my dad. So that's really good. I have a long-term idea that is going to take me away, I think, from film festival consulting. And this last keynote that I did 2 weeks ago, for free because they couldn't afford to pay me. I did it on the topic of how to make the most of your film festival run. And I decided to base all the sort of like data and real like hard, the coaching on this notion that first artists need to protect and nourish their artistic hearts. And I talked about imposter syndrome and vulnerability and loneliness and resilience and all that. And there was a wonderful response to that. And then I did it for my students last week. I was like, "Do you guys want to hear this part of the lecture?" Because they've heard all the other stuff, and they were really, really excited about the material. And I've started to think that doing that sort of talk in a bigger space, in a non-film festival space, in a corporate space would help me achieve my financial goals more than working with my beloved indie filmmakers who may not even be able to pay me for a 1 hour consultation. So I don't know what I don't how does one start that process of what do I need to do to I don't know, put together a speech or two and go out into the world. Those are my questions.
Who has the pain that you think this service can resolve? Like, who would you be talking to, and why you? No, I'm asking you.
I'm sorry, say that last thing
Like,
again.
who has the pain that this speech or workshop or whatever, who has the problem? What problem are you solving for whom? Like, I want to do this in corporate. Who do you want to be your audience, though, specifically?
I think that it's a ultimately, even though I was speaking specifically about artistry, I was talking about what I've observed working with thousands of filmmakers and how people feel at this growth stage and are not prepared emotionally for vulnerability and the loneliness and the challenges of growth. And there were two metaphors that I used this past week, and one was about, I think that for artists, we want to finish the work and put it out there and everyone to love it, right? And I think that anyone who creates a product, same thing. Like it takes a lot to be able to say, I need to go through a feedback stage. The world is going to give me feedback and it may not be what I want it to be. So it could be anyone who creates a product that's putting it out there.
Like an
It could
inventor, you mean? Like the people on Shark Tank kind of thing?
like an inventor, it could be I think that a lot of the people that I talk with the most about imposter syndrome are women and filmmakers from underrepresented communities who
Okay.
think they don't deserve to be at the table. And it comes out and it comes out sometimes because they've worked so hard to get where they are, but then it's like that next stage, like how can I help you cross the bridge from being in this one space and into a bigger space as a creator or a business person or an executive?
Okay, the challenge that you're going to have is that this is really, really about, okay, who is going to be receptive to this information? And if you're going to a business, they're your client and they're buying you as a gift to their employees or audience or whatever. So the people in the audience are not your client. They didn't pay anything. The business is the one, the Google is the one that's hiring you to deliver this content, correct? Like that's what you're thinking. Well, the business has to clearly understand, oh, yes, this is how spending this money for her to say this stuff to our people is going to improve our bottom line. It's going to improve our people's happiness, our people's productivity, our people's whatever. Like if you're going into a lane where you want corporates or companies or businesses to hire you for their people, you have to be clear about what your thing, how that your thing serves their agenda. And you're saying, like somebody who is bringing a product to life, like anything that's bringing somebody's bringing that, is near and dear to their heart, bringing it out to the world. You're saying, but I'm just like, where are groups of adventure? Like, where are these groups of people hanging out? Because a person working at a company isn't necessarily invested in what the product is at the company. They're just showing up for work and working on this product. Like, who are these people that you want to talk to? You have like your filmmakers, but who else are you thinking wants this knowledge?
Well, I think there are probably associations of maybe not corporations, but associations of affinity groups, or like I was just at a conference that was independent film ex exhibitors. I wouldn't give that talk there, but maybe an alliance of, actually, I think the Film Festival Alliance that I'm on the board of would be interested in something like this, where it's like, how do we support our employees in the nonprofits, in our nonprofits, in growth and development? Or, an association of, and I think I'll have to do obviously research.
Yeah, because the thing that you said at the very beginning when we started talking was like, ooh, I think I can get more money going down this lane than necessarily from my film student people. So you want to, though, pick a lane that actually has money. How much are nonprofits paying? You were just hired to speak someplace for an honorarium. Like, who has the money that's going to shell out what you're envisioning over here versus this?
I think it might be associations where that are doing conferences where they're collecting fees and they do have actual budgets to pay speakers.
Then that's where I would start the research. It's like, where are these places that actually pay people? And then how would my talk be tailored for them? And the other thing, the question, you don't have to answer this now, but the question, one of the questions I would have is that, because what you said is, one of the things about your talk is about preparing yourself emotionally for the challenges of growth. You know, what happens if people don't love your thing as much as you hope they will? The thing about it is people who are new or in the beginning stages of bringing something to the world for the first time think the world is going to love it. They don't need you. Then they think, no, I'm the exception to the rule. My
That's
film.
somebody else's problem, not my problem.
So you have perspective. You can see what they need to hear. But that's why I keep saying who wants what you're offering, not who needs it. People don't pay for what they need, they pay for what they want. So, yeah. So you'd have to be bringing this to an association or a group of people who understand, yes, this would be helpful for our people to hear at the stage that they're in. It's sort of like when you're giving a speech to a college graduating class who think everyone, most people graduating from college is like, oh, I've got this. Or, well, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. It's like you can't stand up there and go, well, here's the 10 things you're going to learn by 40, and I'll just tell them to you now. So, I mean, it would be such a hard thing for them to digest because they just wouldn't get what you're saying. Maybe a few people would, based on like having lived a harder life than the majority of people. Most people are like, what is she talking about? They're full of hope and optimism and blah, blah. You have to make sure your message is hitting people. That's why most speeches for college graduations, while they may, touch on some truths and resonate, they're mostly inspirational with hopefully a little bit of humor. So the medicine, the bit of medicine they're giving will go down. But they're not like, hey, now that I have your rapt attention, let me tell you how the world really works. You're going to need some resilience. You're going to need some, like, yeah. So it's this meeting of the right message to the right people at the right time in the right context. And that is just for you to be able to put the spin on and paint the picture of why this information would be such a good match for their audience. Yeah. So it's not like you can't do this, but it has to be your idea. You need some more data to be like, what's the going rate? How many of these people pay their speakers? And you can call places and go, hey, I'm writing an article on blah, 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 and I just need some stats. Like, what's your dealio? And just get all the information. That's one way to get information.
I think that there are definitely ways to tailor it that take it away from just being move it away from being an artist, protecting one's artistic heart. But there's a lot about it that is ultimately about how to survive slash navigate the really tricky times that we're in. Like, what can you control?
The other thing that you'll need to think about is why should they hire you to say that message versus someone who's written a book about it or someone who does this thing about it or something? Like, what are you? You have a ton of credibility in the creative sphere. Translating that, you have to make sure there's a way you can spin where you have credibility so that they would pick you to deliver that message. It's totally doable. I'm not saying this isn't doable. I'm just pointing out where you're going to need to kind of refine and figure things out and get a little more data and before you would make a shift. But I do think that you are super smart and likely do have some good information for people who are more able to pay for it than a constituency of filmmakers. Yeah. So I'm glad your brain is thinking about that. So I don't want to discourage you, but I do want to address realistically the challenges of getting your foot in the door. Once you do a couple of them, though, then you just have the letters of recommendation of like, oh, this went over really well with this audience and you might like it too, kind of thing.
Okay, this is helpful. This is a lot of good stuff to think about.
Good, good. Keep coming back. So as you learn more, we can refine more and stuff
All
like
right.
that.
And I'm also not giving up on my filmmakers.
Oh,
Everybody's just really struggling right now. And I have to pay my
it's a
bills.
tough time.
Yeah, it's
That's
really bad.
no, it
It's really bad.
makes sense to me. I didn't for a minute think like you're giving up. It's just sort of we have to be realistic and just be like, okay, pivot, 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 pivot. That's all we've been doing for years now, especially since 2020, but earlier than that as well. Pivot, pivot, pivot.
Awesome. Thank you so much. If
You're very
anybody
welcome.
has any ideas of who this talk would appeal to, I see Kate put something in. Thank you. Please throw some things in the chat.
Cool,
I'll
cool.
give you my
Hi.
email address too. Thank you.
Perfect. Hi, Sai.
Hi. I actually raised my hand because I might have an idea for Cricket. So she mentioned Shark Tank. I actually, strangely enough, happened to work for Shark Tank. And so I talk to people every single day who might be the ultimate recipient of the message, but to Christine's point, probably wouldn't pay you for it, afford to be able to pay for it. However, the way that I find a lot of these folks is through incubators, places like Techstars. Every industry has their own incubators, from CPG like foods to tech to whatever, fashion, skincare, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of these entrepreneurs are kind of like artists, like what you said is true, where they approach it like this is my creation and I'm very sensitive about it. So I think ultimately they would benefit from it. However, to her point, it's like who's going to pay you to do it? So I don't know. I don't have the answer for like whether a Techstars, which exists in like so many cities, by the way, would is an organization that like fosters like in like a tech product or whatever, would pay you to come speak to their people, but they might, they do these like demo days, they do like weekends. There's, when you're in a cohort for a Techstars, you're in it for like months, like a year. So they might have places and panels and things where they might have people from different even industries come in and speak to them, so I don't know, like I don't have that. That's obviously stuff that you would have to research, but there are a lot of places that I think are do foster business owners and entrepreneurs who might want to inspire them in that way. Techstars actually has tons of money. I just don't know if they'd spend it on something like this.
In
But
that way,
yeah,
they
the
might,
other,
if they have a sense of
yeah.
the failure rate, if they have long-term data and have a sense of the failure rate, that's might be
Yeah.
where I can get them.
I think to her point, it's like this is me just like, asking out loud, which is like what she kind of brought up is like, why are you the expert? It would be like kind of proving to them, why are you the expert? And I see often on like LinkedIn, for example, people start kind of creating content. I know we're always like creating content and I'm like so sick of it myself, but like, it's like you have to establish yourself maybe as like an expert in this field, or at least like someone that has something to offer and or prove that to an organization like say Techstars to say like, hey, like I have a lot of experience in like inspiring people in this way, and here's sort of my success rate or whatever, however, what metric you would show them, and then they would say, oh my gosh, yes, please come and talk to our people. So again, it's like what Christine said of why are you're proving like what is the value in what I'm providing is sort of you're selling them essentially. But ultimately, I think at least there are possibly opportunities for you to do that. And again, every industry has its own like incubators, and they're endless. I mean, there's a lot of them. They're not endless, but there's a lot.
That's
So
great.
yeah, it's something to
Thank
like
you.
start looking into. Yeah,
And you
yeah.
said it's called Tech Stars.
So like, yeah, one organization is Techstars,
Okay.
and sometimes they're even like in collaboration with like Chase Bank or whatever, and like JP Morgan Chase or whatever. So there could be opportunities like on the corporate side too. If you were to like nail it with that, JP
I
Morgan
think
Chase
you
might say
nailed
like,
it.
come and talk to our people at our retreat or whatever. So it's just doing like a lot of legwork and maybe having to like sell yourself. But it's, I think, a good place to start maybe.
Thank you so much. I
Yeah,
really appreciate the
for
suggestion.
sure, for sure.
And I mean, you can Google like skincare incubators, fashion incubators, like that kind of thing. And also, it might be there's places that give out grants. Like there's Women's Net is a place, and they give out grants every single month for female-owned businesses. And so places like that might hire you, you know, for their as part of their prize package. Maybe they get a workshop with you, you know, or something like that. Or if there's like a contest or a grant that's businessy or creative-y, that they like, you get mentorship for 6 months with these people. Maybe you talking to them is part of that package.
I forgot to mention, sorry, actually, that sort of forgot this part, that there are specific, like, female founder funds and like women's business, whatever, and black founders and AAPI, like specific to underserved, you mentioned underserved communities. There's tons of that stuff too. So that might maybe be a better place to start, or maybe more like meaningful for you to start there as well. I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
I think that this is all great advice, y'all. This is exactly what I'm thinking.
And the I would start as close to the creative community as you can. And it might be like, you know, there's these programs like Disney and the DGA and, you know, where they, you know, choose five writers and they mentor them for a year, those kind of programs. They that you have credibility in that area. So you might be able to get some of those under your belt. Just
Yes, and there's a fun actually a grant that I just applied for and did not get, and they have a lot of Wall Street money, and I'm like, oh, they're perfect. So I'll yeah, this is great. I'll do the research. I appreciate it.
yeah, and then it's about pitching yourself. That's what I'm doing. Like, I'm pitching myself, you know, in the realm of caregiving, but I'm also doing everything I can to start getting credibility and people to vouch for, you know, writing articles and trying to get published and, you know, just so I'm like adding my voice to that community, but I have to prove my credibility. I mean, the fact that I've founded an organization kind of for caregivers, that helps too. But I'm also going to be, you know, putting content out in LinkedIn and YouTube and stuff to just establish these are my ideas, these are my thought leadership, you know. You have to kind of prove it sometimes, but yeah, go forth, Cricut, and explore. You're at the beginning stages. I like the way your mind is working. I do think a more lucrative stream of in community to talk to is smart for the upcoming years. Go for it. Go for it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good,
Thanks,
good.
everybody.
Thank you, Sai. Allison. Hi, Christine.
Hi. So I am not 100% sure if this is really a cash flow question, and if it's not, please feel
You
free
will be
to.
banished.
Well, I know Christina has a question too, and I know you don't have all night, but I just thought I would ask. So this is related to day jobs. This question is inspired by something that my fiance is encountering right now, but it is definitely something that I have also dealt with, and I know that probably a lot of us experience, those of us with day jobs, experience this a fair amount. Do you have any advice for negotiating with employers about time off for creative pursuits, particularly when the employer is not really super friendly about this kind of thing? So again, I don't, that's not really cash flow, so I understand if, you know, that's, this isn't the right place to ask, but
Yeah,
anyway.
it's kind of cash flow. Can you give me any particulars, like maybe with your
Yeah, sure.
partner's sort of situation? Like, what kind of job does he work in, and what does he want time off for, and how much time does he want off for it?
So this is a sales job that he's been working in sales for a few years, but this is a relatively new job. And it's like a lot more money than he's used to making. He has had trouble getting time off already for a vacation that was planned like over a year in advance. They like don't want to give it to him. And now he has an opportunity to be in a play out of state, like a pretty big deal for him play. He would be away for a couple months shortly after this vacation that they already do not want him to go on. So that's like a pretty, I feel like this is a pretty extreme example, especially because he hasn't been working there for long, but hey, you know, why not hear about the extreme example, I
Yeah.
guess.
And can he do any of the job while he is away?
Not really. This place really works their people like into the ground. Like they like their people to be working long hour. I mean, ultimately it's not like an ideal job situation for him in the long run, but it is like a pretty big, it's a pretty substantial jump in income compared to what he's used to. So if there's anything, you know, that he can do to not lose that, or at least try, you
Yeah.
know, he wants to give it a
And
shot.
is he salaried or is it
It's
commission?
commission. Yeah.
Yeah. And is he good at it? Has he
He,
brought in like a shit ton of money for the
so
company so
he
far?
is very good at it, but the way, but sales are kind of depressed right now generally. Like people aren't, not a lot of people are coming in. But he is, he his like his ability at it is quite good. He's very good with the customers.
Okay. Well, whenever you're trying to negotiate something, get something, you have to ask yourself, what leverage do I have? So it kind of sounds like if he was just a star salesman and they were like, "Oh my God, like we don't want you to go," but he was like, "Well, I'm gonna go do this play." They'd probably be like, "Well, okay, but come back. Like, come back. We'll have, we'll hire you again." That is leverage, because the best he can hope for is that the job will be waiting for him when he would return. But it doesn't sense, since he's new, since
Yeah, that's
sales
the
have
big
been
problem. Yeah.
depressed and he hasn't been able to kind of like shine in the position and prove his like they just love him. I don't think he has a lot of leverage.
Exactly, right.
So
His
there's
coworkers love him and have been going to bat for him over various things, but it's
yeah.
just like across the board, sales across the company are pretty, are not what they want them to be. So yeah, like you're totally right. He doesn't have a lot of leverage.
No. So he could take a risk, go do the play, come back and see if they haven't replaced him with someone better or haven't replaced him at all.
Yeah,
You
right.
know,
So then in that
or
case, can I just, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting, but what is there any kind of language or approach you would use for at least trying not to burn the bridge? Like to say, look, I know you guys don't want me to do this. I know you may have to replace me, but you know, if you haven't, or just to try and leave the door open in a situation where they may not be happy with it, if that makes sense.
That is the language.
Okay.
I love working here. I am so happy for this opportunity. But this other thing has come up that I just would be kicking myself for the rest of my life if I didn't take it. I know you can't guarantee anything, but I would like to come back. So I'm just hoping, you would keep the door open to that possibility. That's
Okay, great.
yeah.
Yeah, thank
Yeah.
you. No, I think that
Yeah.
makes sense. Can I
Yeah.
ask if he did have more leverage, how would you approach that? Just 'cause like I know this applies to like so many more situations than just this.
Yeah, then it's sort of like I'm hoping that we can find a win-win situation here because I know that, and that you'd have your statistics. I know that I've added $100,000 to the company bottom line since I came. I really do like this job and I think we're such a good fit. But I have this thing that I would just couldn't live with myself if I didn't go and do. And so, is there something we can work out so that I could return? It's just like that. But you kind of have to be like, I did this for the company. Sales have increased since I've been here. Like, that's just sort of like negotiating a raise too. I've done this
Yeah,
and this
that's so
and this,
true.
and I'm willing to do this, or I'll work on Saturdays, or you just offer what you can and paint that picture. And I've done it both ways. I quit a job to go do a play out of state. And I was just like, well, I guess that's the end of that era. And I'll like they had to hire somebody else, but I had to go do it. It was such a great opportunity. And I've done it the other way where I made myself so indispensable at a job that I was able to be like, this is the schedule I'd like to have for my weeks. And I would like this. And I would just ask for all these things to accommodate the acting. And they just were like, yes, whatever. Just please, you're really good at what you do. Like, please keep coming back. So it just depends. It always depends on the leverage. But that is why if you watch videos on like how to get raises and everything, they're like, track what you are doing for the company. Track how you've made improvements. Track how you've streamlined something about your job. Track how you've done that. So you have that data to come to the table with of like, this is why I think I need, because a lot of people just like, well, I've been here a year, so I guess it's time for my raise. It's like, oh, what? Yeah, no, that's not compelling anymore. Yeah, good questions though.
Awesome. Okay, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. But whenever any kind of negotiation, including with a partner or with anybody, the first question is like, okay, so what leverage do I have here? What leverage? It's all about that.
Yeah, so true.
Cool. Yeah. Christina, hi.
Add on to that question. This was like a million years ago, and I had no responsibilities, and I had accrued a ton of leverage, and I wanted to take this backpacking adventure in Southeast Asia. And I was very like, much like, I love this job. I want to go on this vacation. I'm gonna go on this vacation. Can I come back? Is that cool? And we had a big launch at the time, and they're like, yes, just come back. And it was fine. But I didn't, I was like willing to be like, wee, walk away. And I got it. But yeah, I had accrued a lot of leverage. So I think leverage is everything. If
And
you're
you're,
indispensable, people are like, okay, what do you want?
and please, this is an important point, so I'm going to say it. The making yourself indispensable is different than giving 110% at a job. Giving
My job.
110% could just be wearing yourself out and you're doing more work, so they just keep giving you more work, and it's like, well, whatever. And that might not even be acknowledged. That's just like, wow, she just gives 110%. I guess that's her baseline of operation. And that's what a lot of women, especially, they want to like impress when they get a new job and they give 110%. And people just think that's their baseline, so that when the company's like, okay, guys, we need to like give 110%, they're like, no, this is. But everyone thinks it's your baseline. So the strategy I like to employ is, okay, well, let's keep dialing it back to see where they're still impressed. But can I just be giving maybe 85% and impress them? Making yourself indispensable isn't giving 110%. What it is like, what's an improvement here that they don't even see that if I did would save them money, would save time, would streamline something, would m improve the business's bottom line? Just being gung ho and giving 110% doesn't necessarily actually improve the business bottom line. I mean, you're a little more productive, sure, and you're willing to do extra work, but you have to do things that they can actually, you can actually point to and say, oh, well, I saved money here. I did this, or I, formed this team at work and we made this, or, you got, it looks great in your PR to be able to say this because of the work I did, like that kind of stuff. So that, and you can do that at your 85% of your energy. This is strategic. This is just trying, this is more people pleasing and like just trying to be a really good employee, but people aren't rewarded for being in good employees. You can be a bad employee and increase the bottom line and get a raise, by the way. Yeah. So anyway, side note.
To say that. And I think
Good point, Christina, though. The also Being able to walk away and just being like, I'm willing to walk away is the biggest leverage, you know?
May, I don't know, more confidence, but just like in my 20s,
Okay.
I just like lucked into a job. I was kind of phoning it in after a while, and I didn't realize like, oh, this is actually like I cracked the system. And then anyways, okay, so I do have questions. One is sort of like, I think they're both around mindset, but okay, so I made the mistake of talking to my mom about this.
Yes.
And the I'm not like offended at her reaction because I know it's just her own stuff, but she was super cringed out by me sending out an email to people. Last time we talked about like send out an email to 100 people with like a hey, like let's believe you can make money. And my mom was like, you're gonna do what? And so she kind of got into my head. And then I also talked about like what I was gonna send the email out about. And my husband, I was like, no, this is what I want to do. And so he like backed off. But it was like not around I'm gonna write for these people or do the thing for them. I have an idea to like sort of help people, professionals, people that aren't in entertainment industry, ideally people that are like, did the career have the money to spend on something that aren't feeling fulfilled creatively, want to do the thing, but they don't know how, they're too intimidated, and like helping them just do it, like figure it out, because I feel like I'm really good at doing that. So I guess my question is, one, I need some mindset around like not feeling like an idiot sending this out. And two, is this like I don't want to be a life coach. I don't I it's almost like a product manager. I watched a bunch of videos that you recommended I watch from this woman that's like basically a right-hand man to CEOs, and I loved that. I love what she's doing, and I feel like I could sort of take that concept and apply it to, hey, do you want to write a book? Do you want to like get published in an online publication? Do you want to maybe make a movie? Do you want to, whatever the thing is that you want to do, I'll help you figure it out. And it's just the act of doing that gives you the fulfillment. It's not necessarily the end result. And instead of having like, I'm gonna like, let's say it's writing, for instance, I'm gonna write 5 pages a day. Like, I think a lot of times that can be very intimidating to people. It's more forming a relationship with the thing that you're trying to do. And it's just, maybe it's doing research, maybe it's listening to a podcast, like just trying to do it and like putting yourself out there and getting control that way rather than like putting these super huge goals on yourself that just you'll get overwhelmed by and not do. Because I think I'm pretty good at figuring out how to do the thing and then doing it. So anyways, I don't know if that makes sense with a question or not, or if I'm just rambling.
Yeah, definitely. So, did you already send out an email? No. No, that's okay. I just wanted to. So, you were sort of telling your mom, I'm thinking about sending this out. And she's like, ooh.
Very excited. I'm like, I'm gonna do it. And she's like, ooh, how's applying for jobs going? Like, she was just, yuck, don't do it. And then the other advice I heard was like, do you really want to burn reaching out to people with something that you're not sure you even are going to like do? Like, I haven't like fully vetted this. This isn't like 100% like a business I'm doing. Like, you're gonna burn your ask of like reaching out to people. That was the other like feedback I got.
Okay. First of all, you're not reaching out with an ask for people. You don't want to, if you're going to do a GoFundMe, please be very careful of what you choose for your GoFundMe or your Kickstarter, because you kind of get one of those. Hey, everybody, I need money for a project, or hey, I need money for my surgery. You probably get one of those. And I see people burn that on stuff. It's like, oh, really? Okay. You're not, when you are offering a business service, you're not asking people. You're offering to them, hey, if you need this, and most people who don't need it will just be like, nope. And a few people will be like, well, that's stupid. And the two people who are like, oh my God, yes, I do. Oh my God, Christina's doing this. And that's amazing. You are doing it for the two people who this is the answer to their prayer. And to succeed in generating a stream of income, you have to care more about those two people than the other 100 people who either don't care or are offended or think it's weird. And you can do as many offers and business as you want. Hey, I'm doing this now. Hey, I'm doing this now. Because it'll be two people for that thing, two people for that thing, two different people probably. You're not asking anybody to help you. You're offering something that's going to solve some people's problems. So you can offer to solve problems in many ways for the rest of your life. Richard Branson. Oh, records. Oh, airplanes. Oh, now I'm going to like, he just has a lots of businesses. He just keeps picking different problems that he wants to solve for people. So that's your mom has her, as you've identified, like her own hangups about asking and people burning bridges. No, it's not a GoFundMe. It's a business opportunity. So I think that is neither here nor there.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. It's not an ask. And you're going, you need to give yourself grace to, you're going to do some stuff wrong in this finding your way to your next stream of income. You're going to word things wrong. You're going to like charge things wrong. You're just going to do so much that you're like, okay, note to self, I will do that differently next time. If you can't move yourself gracefully with kindness through those periods, don't do it. Go get a job because you'll do too much damage to yourself. You've just got to be like, okay, well, this income creation thing, it's a weird rocky road, and I've never done it like this before, so there's going to be some trials and some errors. And that's okay. And that's normal. And it's really hard. This is where smart, capable people, the smart ones, the capable ones, hold themselves back because it's like, no, I'd prefer to do it perfect. I'd prefer to figure it all out so I can do it perfectly the first time and everyone will think I'm smart and capable. Like, yeah, you're gonna fall on your face sometimes. I have, everybody I know has, Yada has, Kate has. It's like, yeah, you know, it's par for the course. Kate's like, yes. You know? So join the club, but it's a really great club. And you want to only run your ideas and stuff by the people in the club. When I heard about professional organizing for the first time in this magazine article, and I went to my dad and I was so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, dad, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I think I could totally do it. And he just said, well, I don't think anyone's going to pay you for that. And I was just like, I was not expecting that. I was so excited. And I was like, oh, interesting. Fortunately, I knew, I think that's stuff inside him that has nothing to do with me because I think I could do this, you know. So I wasn't put off, but it was like, it wasn't even hurtful. It was disappointing, but it was also surprise. I was just surprised, like, whoa, okay. And I was like, but I think I can. And I was willing to find out. And I was willing to be okay if no one wanted to pay me, then I would at least know, okay, well, that was a thought. So there's that level of like, I'm going to still love me even if this doesn't work out. So I might as well try.
Ew. Yes. Fuck yes.
So it sounds to me like what you're kind of talking about with your idea is almost like being a Sherpa for somebody with a creative dream. Okay, so there's a lot of the good news. This isn't bad news when everyone's like, there's a lot of people doing that out in the marketplace. Good. That means there's a lot of people paying for that kind of assistance out in the marketplace. But what you want to do is go, what piece of that am I going to claim so that I can say it in a way that gets people's attention? Like, oh, she's talking my language. So something you could, this is like an example. You don't have to do it this way. This is just one example. But you could have a whole business around, I'm going to help you take your first 5 steps towards this dream that you have. You have the dream. You see there is a path, but you haven't, something's been holding you back from like taking that first step. And then after, or maybe you've taken, this is the copy on your website, like something's holding you back from taking the first step, or maybe you've taken the first step and froze because you're like, oh, I took the first step, but I'm not sure what the second step is. Or I'm like freaked out that I've taken the first step. Or maybe you've taken 4 steps and it was going great, but woof, that fourth step, man, you didn't see that crack in the path. And now your confidence is shaken a little bit. I help people through those first 5 steps. What are those 5 steps? Well, they're actually different for everybody because all of the people I work with are doing different types of projects. They're at different stages in the career. What they all have in common is that they have a burning desire to do a creative thing. They want to not die, as Wayne Dyer says, with their music still in them. They want to get that out. And they've realized having a Sherpa along or a little bit of help or a little bit of accountability and guidance on this path might make it smoother, more enjoyable, more fun to do it. Because a lot of the people I help, the people in their life, they think they're crazy. What are you doing? You're retired. You should just da da da. That's not the job that you've had. That's not your career that you've had for like, what are you doing? And it could be hard to take those first couple steps when you feel everybody's watching you. Now, what's interesting is I'm also describing you right now. Taking your first couple steps and like, oh, people are thinking this, and people are like, yeah, which is great because it gives you a lot of empathy and experience for helping your clients. You're not just like, no, it's easy. Let's go, let's go. Because that's not what they're feeling. You're like, oh, no, I understand. So when you can describe what you're offering in terms where when someone's hearing you or reading it, they're like, oh, she's like right inside my head and she really gets me. Like, yeah. Okay. I like her. I think I'll choose her versus all the other people who are like, let me help you. Does
Because
that
it helps because yes, making money is something I'm going to be good at, but right now it scares the shit out of me going on my own. But I'm not scared anymore by putting myself out there creatively, and I know like what it feels like. But I also know that the enjoyment, the joy comes from doing it, not from the end results, which is what you think it's going to do. It's gonna like I'm gonna get so much validation, but I never. It's always doing it that is like the best part. And the end of it is kind of like, oh, it's over. Like, that's that. But I
Yeah.
also specifically like, and again, I made the mistake of talking to people not in this group. My husband, bless him, he was like, but don't you think you're painting yourself in a corner if you're not talking about like this will help you make money because that's what everyone thinks is going to do. And I'm like, no, it's not about making money. It's about being fulfilled. Like, it's about, like, you don't. This isn't about making money. This is about doing something that will make you really happy so you don't die being like, I should have written my book. I should have done the thing, whatever. Do you
Yeah,
think
because
that
your clients
that's
have made the money.
right? Exactly. Because I don't, it doesn't resonate with me personally to like make it be a money making thing because I'm not really interested in that to help people do, anyways. It's like, no, just like do the thing that like lights you up. Who gives a shit what people think? Like, do the thing and you won't regret it because it'll be fun. Okay.
No, it's solid. Okay. So the point I was making with my example is that You need to make this into some sort of package that the person can go, that's what I need. So like the first five steps or something they can like hang their hat on.
Tangible, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, she does this. Right. Like there's a lot of caregivers out in the world. I focus, it's not that I won't get some from all the groups, but I focus on ambitious women mostly, but ambitious women who feel torn between their own goals and then the needs of those they love. They're feeling torn because they don't want to give up the pursuit of what they've got going on in life, and they're just feeling like pulled over here, and they don't know how to keep that connection. That's the group I work with, and I'm not increasing their bottom line. I'm helping them navigate through the situation, but that's a slice of all the caregivers. And when my marketing and when I talk to those people specifically, they go, oh, she's the caregiver coach for me. Instead of trying to just talk to all the caregivers. So, of all the people who've either retired or have money or done a chapter of their career, and now they really want to be more creative, there's a whole group of them. Who are you going to talk to? Is what you need to start narrowing it down so that you can send out an email to your friends going, if you know this type of person, that's who I help. And they can go, that is my Aunt Mabel, who just retired. Like, yeah. And in the realm of organizing, there's a ton of organizers, but even when I was doing it, but the people I worked with were creatives. And I did their residences. I didn't do business organizing. I didn't do family organizing. I did some businesses. I did some families. But who I was talking to was creatives because that was my background. I knew their situation. I knew all the stuff in their head. And they were able to go, oh, that's the organizer for me. She gets me. So you have to start deciding, okay, this is the kind of thing I want to do. I want to help people get their music, not die with their music in them. Who? And when you're picking your
Always
who,
pivot on like who the who is for me, like because to me I'm like it's the person in like middle age that's like still in their career, but like fuck, I'm this. What else is like that's like starting to see like I'm going to die. Like this isn't like am I gonna do this forever? But not necessarily like the retired. Like I guess my
right.
question is like I can always pivot who I'm talking to, but to me I feel like it'd be easier to talk to like myself.
You always you look for where you have the most credibility. I had the most credibility with creative artists and especially actors because I was one when I was doing my organizing business, like on the side. It was like, oh yeah, like I know your world. Like, and people want to work with people like them. And I think that it's you don't, I was just, retirees flew out of my mouth, but no. It's not even middle age. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with age. What your client, I think the thing that all of your clients will likely have in common in if you do this kind of business, they are feeling like the clock is ticking and time is running out. They could be 22 and feeling that. They could be 42 and feeling that, and they could be 62 and feeling that. But that is the that's the pain that you're actually solving is let's it's this anxiety or this heaviness or this itch or this just suspicion. You can hear the clock ticking and you feel that the time is running out. And they're going to be like, how is she in my head right now? So you don't even have to mention age. That's the thing.
Like,
Yeah. And the concern that you have is that this creative thing that's inside of you, this project that wants to get done, is never going to get done. And that's no way to live. And that's certainly no way to die. there's some good marketing.
Yeah. So like specific the people I'm talking to, and I feel like it's like the people that know the thing, but then there's also probably the people that like don't know the thing, but they just know there's something missing. Or do you think I just start in like one spot?
I mean, well, you have to ask yourself, do you have the skill set to work with someone who doesn't know what it is yet? Are you able to do the process of helping them figure that out? Or do you feel more comfortable if someone's like, this is the thing? That's kind of just a skill set question or a what would you prefer to work with kind of question. But I think starting out, it would be easier to just say, you know that thing, you know that
Right.
project. You've probably never even mentioned it because everybody around you would think you're nuts, or why would you do that? Or you've got a good job. Like, say, marketing is about saying the things that are already in their head, the concerns that they have. Yeah, but you know that thing. And what you need right now is someone that you can start discussing that thing with to make it into a reality. A safe space where we can start working on that thing. Yeah. I would start with someone who already knows it because then they're so clear and they're so ready because they know the thing and they feel the pain and they want you to come along and go, if you just give me some money and we can make that pain go away. And they're like, yes. So then you have to
Last,
figure,
yeah.
go ahead.
Sorry,
No.
you. Oh, no, I was going to ask the question of you said, figure out what you can do for like $100, just start there. Like $100, do you still like now that I have like a more of an idea of what I think, like,
So if this is what you were going for, now you need a package. You need to say, this is how I start working with all of my new clients. Because I mean, this isn't one conversation.
no.
Yeah, it's probably at least three conversations. Three conversations that happen in the span of at like no more than a quarter, 3 months. Probably better 2 months, three conversations in 2 months, because you really want to kind of, you're going to need to like wrap your brain around what they want. You need to assess their circumstances so that you can sort of strategize like what would be their first couple steps. And then you have to help them move the obstacles out of the way of the path so they can take the steps. And then you have to, cheerlead and help them take the steps. And then they buy another package. Or you have after the package, they can buy you a la carte on a session by session, conversation by conversation basis. That's probably the best way to do it. All new clients start with this package, three conversations within 60 days. And then you decide, is it an hour long conversation each one, or do you need 90 minutes each one? Hour goes by pretty fast, just, and 90 minutes gives them time to talk and you time to talk. So then you put a price on that package. And then when they do the math tick, 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 and divide your price by three so they can find out how much. And then when they buy you a la carte after that, the session's less. So they're like, oh, at first it's a little more, but then I can keep using her at this less rate, which encourages people to keep using you. So then the question is, how much would you want to charge? First of all, do you think an hour or do you think 90 minutes?
hour can go by really quick. I guess the thing that 90 minutes intimidates me is like, oh my God, could we fill up 90 minutes? But let's just say 90 minutes
Or
for,
you know what? You can always change it. You can always
yeah.
change it if you want. So you can start with an hour, or you can make the first session 90 minutes and then
It's
an
2 hour,
hour. Let's do
yeah.
that. So 90,
Okay.
an hour, and then an hour. But just so you know, the thing about the last session is you kind of also want to have time to be like, so what's next? Do we want to keep working together? When would it be useful for you to have another talk with me in a month Like, so you you'll just have to include that in the last hour, just so you know. Okay. But let's just say, so they're basically, that's 4 hours now in a new client package. You also have to give yourself compensation for onboarding. They might have to have a conversation with you before, and then you might have to like pass the agreement back and forth. Like all that stuff needs to be wrapped up into the initial price. So technically, you'll spend 4 hours with them, but you will likely spend 6 hours. Emails, blah, 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 what's nots and who's its. So, how much do you want to charge for that initial new client package?
Oh, is 600 feels like too much. I'm just thinking
Okay.
like if it's $100 an hour, then 600, but that feels like so much to spend, especially like when I haven't done it before.
Here's how I want you to start, because the easiest thing to do is raise your prices. You just raise, start raising your prices. What is a number that you that doesn't disrupt your nervous system at this moment when you say it? When you can just be like, "Oh, that's a bargain." Like, what's an easy number for you to say that you could do for like your first, do it for your first three or first five clients, three maybe, and you get testimonials, you get case studies, you want to get three people under your belt so you can tweak this and even see if you like it. So what are you going to charge the first three people you work with? Huh? Are you breaking up? Did you say something?
300, 300.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would do 325. You know why? It's just sort of like it sounds more specific. 325. Three conversations. The first one's 90. Then we have 2 1-hour conversations within the span of 60 days. That's my package. And then if we continue working together, it's at the rate of $95 an hour. Because they'll do the math and they'll be like, "Oh, 285, that's cheaper than 325. That's a discount." And that's how you do it for your first couple clients. So now you have an email to send out. And when you re-listen to this, you can pull all that marketing talk, make it to a concise little email. Here's my offer. If you know somebody who's been expressing that kind of tumult,
Yep.
send them my way. That's not an ask, it's an offer to help somebody. Does that feel like something you could do? Awesome. Yeah. And it is great. And I understand the pull of, well, I want my partner to be on board and I want to just discuss all this with my partner and share because it's exciting to you. But your partner might not be excited until you it starts working. So I recommend that's why that's one of the reasons I have a lovely husband. Like we've been together. We're celebrating our 25th marriage anniversary. We've been together for 35 years. He's known me since I was, an 18-year-old in college. So he gets me, but he doesn't want to hear the ins and outs of every single business idea and thing and thing I'm doing. That's part of the reason it was so fun when Miata and I started meeting every month, because it's like, oh, somebody else I can talk about the granular details and who is just as excited as me and who totally understands how hard it is and is there when I fail and is there to celebrate. And it takes all the burden off him. I do so much in my business. I don't even discuss it with him. I don't discuss anything I pay money for or spend money on in my business. Like he doesn't, I doesn't need to hear about any of that. And I talk about my business with other people who get it. He's safe and everything, but I just wanted, he wasn't that interested. Not that interested. I don't, he doesn't read the stuff I write, watch my YouTube videos. He's like, and he has the oldest beer blog in Los Angeles. And he knows everything in the beer. I don't even drink alcohol. I don't, yeah, I know a lot about beer, but like, I don't read his blog. I think I've been on his blog like 5 times. You know, it's just that's fine. It's okay to have parts of your lives that just aren't super intertwined. And entrepreneurship is difficult. And what you don't need, you have enough doubts on your own. You don't need anybody else sowing doubt. I love, Christina, that you can come here and express your doubts in a way where you're going to get constructive advice from me, and you're going to get ideas from other people and cheerleading from other people. That's the environment that's a safe space for this kind of stuff. And you're going to be
It is.
providing that safe space for your clients.
Yeah. No, you guys are amazing. Yeah. It was easy for me to tell my husband, like, fuck off, you don't get it. But my mom was a different story.
So you just don't talk about it. You just don't. Yeah. And that's okay. You're not, people often think, well, oh, but I have to. I mean, she's my mom. Don't I have to share my life with her? Not everything. No, you don't. Safe space only. This was really good. Okay, so what is your next step? What are you going to do? When are you going to send the email?
I'm going to send it out on Monday. Monday. Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Tuesday. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Create the email Monday. Maybe run it by somebody you know to be like, how does it sound? Is there anything I'm missing or any question you have? Like, oh, but you didn't say this. Oh, great. Like, run it by somebody and then send it on Tuesday.
And thanks for first 5 steps. I like that too.
Yeah,
Christina.
that's, it's sort of like, it's specific. It's like, oh, this
Yeah.
is what we are going to do together. The first thing. Like, and you can call it or describe it in any way you want. It could be the first 5 steps. It could be liftoff. It could be, you know, anything you want. Yeah. Great. Guys, that is it for us today. 2 weeks from today, we'll be back, I believe. Oh no, actually, it's next week because we skipped. It should have been. So see you next week if you want more of this fine cash flow action. Thank you,
Thank
Kate.
you, Christine.
Thank
That's
you
Kate
so
Langdon.
much.
She is behind the Ask Kate in the Abundance Bound Community Forum. That is the face to that section of the website. Go forth.
Thanks,
Bye.
everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh.
Seeing you. Hi, Caroline. Hi, Beth.
Bye.
Hi, Ashley. Okay. Hi.